Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer. He goes by Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. On the show today, Aaron Rodgers is actually having fun this season. Go figure. Freddie Kitchens is digging in, says he will not give up play calling. And fans were calling for a quarterback change in Washington last night, just a few weeks into the start of the season. That's where we begin Monday Night Football. Washington looking for their first win on the year, hosting the Chicago Bears, and this one wasn't close. Bears up as many as 25 at the half, went on to win 31-15, and that Bears defense did not make things easy on Case Keenum. Keenum throwing three interceptions, lost two fumbles, and had to hear fans chanting Dwayne Haskins midway through the game. Head coach Jay Gruden was asked about a quarterback change after the loss.
Jay, you're 0-3. You drafted a quarterback in the first round. Is there a chance that you could make a switch at that position?
Not really, no. I think the most important thing is we have to have some continuity. You know, I can't be changing people every 5 minutes here. So I think Case, I got to give Case another an ample opportunity to play with these new guys. I mean, this is his first time in this offense, really. You know, Donald Penn, Eric Flowers, their first time in this offense. You know, Trey Quinn only played two games last year. I made this point before, we're not going to be perfect, but we need to be better, and I think we can get better. Otherwise, if I didn't think we had a chance to get better, then I would make a change. But I feel like Case has the tools to become a very efficient quarterback in this offense and get us some victories here moving forward.
Jay Gruden saying he wants to be consistent. They're pretty consistent 3 weeks into the season, perhaps not the way they want to be. See, does Washington need to make the switch to Haskins at this point, or is it too early?
I believe it's too early. I think that Jay makes a good point as far as if you look at the overall continuity as far as NFL offenses. Has Case really had a good opportunity? Because he wasn't supposed to be the starter. Colt McCoy was penciled to be the starter. Now he got hurt, and now Case took over for him. And now with Haskins in the wings, it's still early in the season. I wouldn't panic. Wholesale changes on that offensive line. And if I'm concerned about the offensive line, why would I put the kid in there, allow him to get hit, where I can wait 8, 9, 10 games? Like, there is no exacta that I have to bring in the first-round pick in the first month of the season. But is Nick, as we talk about all the time, if you draft him in the first round, he's going to play at some point. And for me, I believe that Case hadn't played enough football. With the changes on the offensive line, you got new receivers. They should give this a little more time. I don't see it lasting more than probably another month. But if we get to 5, 6 games into the season, you're 4 or 5 games out of first place already, then it would be time for Haskins. I wouldn't rush him in there right now.
I get why, in theory, they wouldn't do it this week, even though you have a Giants defense that can be had coming up. If for no other reason, then you played on a Monday night. So it's a shorter week than you usually would have, one less day of preparation. But the longer they wait to make the inevitable switch to Dwayne Haskins, the more time is wasted. I mean, Jay Gruden at this point, he and Dan Quinn are the dueling coaches right now, coaching for their jobs, not over the course of the year, but over the course of the next month, over the course of the next 6 weeks. And if you're a Washington fan, a Washington team that I think last night fell in its franchise history to 2-17 on Monday Night Football, and you look at the last, 20-some years of Washington football, you've had one season of real hope, one glimmer of, wait, maybe it'll be different. And that got blown up the moment RG3's knee got tragically blown up in that playoff game. And you drafted Haskins knowing who you had at the quarterback position, knowing that Case Keenum, aside from that magical year in Minnesota where he had a top two defense, maybe the best pair of wide receivers in the league, a solid coaching staff when he was solid. Aside from that year, Case Keenum's been a backup level quarterback in this league. And if 5 turnovers, 5 turnovers on Monday Night Football, just giving the game away to Chicago. Chicago got their offense going late, but early on they didn't need it because there's a pick six going the other way. It was Case Keenum doing a Statue of Liberty to Khalil Mack repeatedly. If that's not going to be enough, then what would be enough? And you do wonder if this harkens back to before the season when around the draft you heard within the Washington organization, front office really liked Haskins. Coaching staff, not so much, because if you're a bad team and you don't have a franchise quarterback starting, this is when you make the change. Not so different than what the New York Giants did this past week, going from Eli, who obviously is a hell of a lot more entrenched than Case Keenum,
sure,
to Daniel Jones. They're going to make the change eventually. I'm not sure what is gained by delaying.
Yeah, I think if we put him in right now, we're overreacting. If you look at their schedule, look at the teams that they've played. Potentially 3 playoff teams, right?
Who Philadelphia, they lose to? Dallas, Chicago.
Okay, so they probably had the toughest schedule that we've seen. It is true that Case, it's his first year in the offense. And if we're being fair to him, now I know that there's rumors. There's always rumors as far as the football people are split. The other people are split. You know, there's one player, but we have 2 different feelings about it. There might be going on but Haskins, to me, with that unpredictable offensive line, they haven't been able to run the ball. Are we doing Haskins a favor by keeping him out, allowing him to watch? I don't believe we're doing Haskins' career any harm by having him watch what's going on, sit there, and then, once the season is out of reach, then get him some reps. That's been the more successful recipe compared to, I'm getting ready to put him in there, he's getting ready to get battered. And especially against Chicago. I'm not putting him there against Chicago, so I'm going to wait a little more time. It's a long season, and with all the replacement players that they're playing with and young receivers, it's hard on Haskins. I believe you're putting him in an environment that's not the most conducive for him to be able to try to get some wins and get some positive play up under his belt.
On the other side of the ball, Mitch Trubisky, after a real sluggish, slow start to the season, promised that he'd come out with a little more energy and firepower, and they delivered. I don't know how much of that is who their competition was, but they finally put together the game that we thought this team could be. What'd you see from Trubisky last night?
Trubisky still has me nervous because, sure, I see the play calling, and I know, regardless of what they say in the press conference, I can tell how much confidence the coach has in the quarterback based on when do they throw, where do they throw, and how often they throw. Are they attacking the field? We watch, and I know we're all consumed with Patty Mahomes. We should be. Watch Andy Reid, the way he calls plays. The way he sends receivers into the roots is if I know I have a guy that can deliver the ball in different spots and no worries. No, that's not what I see from Matt Nagy, the head coach, who I believe is a really good coach and a good play caller, who is restricted based on the inconsistency of Trubisky passing the ball. Yes, he's mobile. Yes, he can get out of some trouble. But his inability to be able to consistently deliver the ball in the pocket, it has me concerned as far as the Bears with the Vikings, underrated Detroit team, and the Packers all being in that division. That's probably the toughest division in football.
Matt Nagy, by the way, an Andy Reid disciple. Just quickly on Trubisky. Going into last night's game, teams that were +4 in the turnover battle in NFL history are 46-0-1. The Washington last night was -4. They weren't going to win the football game. If the Bears have adequate, average, 14th best in the league quarterback play, they can win the Super Bowl. If they get quarterback play like that from Mitch Trubisky throughout the year, they can win the Super Bowl. That defense is monstrous. The concern is, do they have the 24th best quarterback in football or worse? I'm not going to overreact to what Mitch did after the defense gave him short field after short field.
Tons
defensive score.
Yep.
So many advantages. It would have been criminal for Chicago to lose that game last night. At no point did you think they could. That was, to me, more about their defense and Washington's ineffectiveness.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Welcome back. We'll get to the Cowboys in just a second. But first, little Bears, Redskins, Monday Night Football action. Khalil Mack swatting down a ball out of Keenum's hand for the strip sack.
I mean,
he's so good.
I mean, he had two of these last night, two strip sacks again. National television Khalil Mack is like Hoodie Mellow, man. It just brings a whole nother version out of him, see?
Yeah, and he wasn't happy how he started the season that first game against Green Bay. Didn't have the type of impact. But it's one of my favorite plays. Strip sack, so you get the sack. The fumble.
Forced fumble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Scoop and score. It's the old quad.
More Monday Night Football. Taylor Gabriel pulling off an unreal toe tap that was ruled incomplete but then overturned for the touchdown.
I'm no big fan of review. I got to say, credit to the NFL officials in the review process here. In real time, this did not look like it was good.
No.
Upon review, you see, okay, that foot's down, and then, oh, he hits the pylon. That means you're in. Great job by them there.
Also giving him control. I thought when the ball was only in his right hand, they were going to be like, no control.
I liked it.
Washington's Terry McLaurin rises to make a tough catch across the middle for a touchdown.
Man, my man Chris Carter out here gambling wizard. Fox bet before the game, bet on Terry McLaurin. Who? This guy to score a touchdown, plus 250, pay me my money, Chris Carter. Yeah. Well, you got me money. You
was not a starter at Ohio State. Third-round draft pick, now starting, told me this summer that he was going to be a starter. Having a sensational, scored week one, week two, and week three.
How about that?
Got to start betting. In the CFL, Eskimos taking on Tiger Cats. Edmonton's Greg Ellingson holding on for an unbelievable touchdown grab here.
Oh, yeah, he's a good receiver. He's been playing a long time in the CFL, a possession receiver, playing in the slot. If he was in the NFL.
For New England.
Yeah, of course he'd be playing for New England and would have been the MVP of the last Super Bowl. Great catch. Underrated athleticism.
Let's put receiver, him in the man. Hall of Fame with Edelman.
Well, yeah, up there. He can be in the Hall, yeah. I mean,
something like that.
This ain't the NBA.
All right, moving on to the Dallas Cowboys now. One of eight teams to start the year undefeated this season. While Jerry Jones lives for this hype, others aren't buying it wholesale. NFL writer Bill Barnwell says the Cowboys are going to decline as the season goes along and as their schedule gets tougher. The three teams Dallas has played so far have combined for one win and eight losses. CC, you buying the Cowboys are as good as their 3-0 start?
Well, this is the thing. People early in the season, it's always puzzling to me, especially in the NFL. It's not college football. It's not Alabama. It's not Clemson playing against some coastal schools. It's the NFL. And every year we go through this scheduling. Sometimes you get a little better draw, but for the most part, everyone's schedule is difficult. Unless you're playing the AFC East. Now, you're getting some gifts, all right? The Jets quarterback got mono. Belichick might have sent that to him with Demaryius Thomas. We know they're just constantly rebuilding. But the schedule is what it is. The Dallas Cowboys and their ability to be able to throw the ball down the field with Dak Prescott, his improved passing ability with the addition of Randall Cobb and their wide receivers. If you look at them from an offensive standpoint, you say, wow, is that legitimate? Regardless of who they're playing. I believe it to be legitimate, just like Lamar Jackson there in Baltimore, him throwing the ball. I believe that's legitimate. So for me, when I'm looking at Dallas, yes, their schedule is going to get tougher, but this is a good football team that was limited in what they could do last year, and their quarterback has improved. So I like Bill Barnwell. He does some good stuff. Yes, they're scheduled. That's obvious. But to me, the obvious part is this is transferable. You think this is not going to help when they play Philadelphia a couple times? Dak being able to throw the ball like that? Yes, absolutely. So for me, I don't believe Ezekiel Elliott's going to be as worn out later in the season because they have a variety of different styles of Nick, how they can win the game, which we have not seen in Dak's three previous years When Zeke didn't run or Zeke was out of the lineup, they struggled. To me, this is a different offense.
So I want to talk about Dak in a moment, but first to expand on your schedule point, because Bill does talk about that. There's 7-3-0 teams in football right now. And while there are no citadels you get to play in the NFL, all 3-0s aren't created equal. And I think people would say Green Bay, at Chicago, Minnesota, Denver, or take the Rams. They've beaten Carolina, New Orleans, Cleveland. Those 3-0 have a little more meat to them than the 3-0 Buffalo has, Jets, Giants, Bengals. The 3-0 Dallas has that we've talked about, Giants, Washington, Miami. And so the schedule context does matter in this regard. Even if Dallas hadn't played really well, they probably could and should be 3-0, given you got the Giants with Eli, Washington with whatever they're doing, and the Miami Dolphins. But just because they've played inferior competition should not cloud this fact. They have played really well on both sides of the football. I would argue, aside from the first half against Miami, they've played really exceptional football throughout this entire season thus far. First half against Miami, they came out a little sleepy, maybe as teams might do if they start to underestimate or maybe properly estimate the Dolphins, and they still beat them by 25 points, shut them out in the second half. But the question for the Cowboys will be throughout the year, how much do you believe in the quarterback? The defense, worst-case scenario, is going to be above average. Best-case scenario, going to be very good. The offensive line is healthy and playing extraordinary. Zeke is Zeke. They have the best total receiving core they have had in years in Dallas. So it is, how good is Dak Prescott? Thus far through 3 weeks, he's been one of the two best quarterbacks in football. So statistically speaking, only Mahomes has been better. Lamar had been better. Lamar took a step backwards this week. Skip pointed this out yesterday. I think it's a good point. Dak in the second half of games this year, 29 of 32. That's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Dak has been doing everything he has been asked to do. And so if you think that's a mirage, you're still going to discount the Cowboys. We're going to get to see over the next 2 weeks when they play the Saints and the Packers as far as how does Dak deal with a good pass rush? He hasn't had to face that. How does he deal with pressure in his face? He hasn't had to face that. But thus far, you can only pass the tests that you are asked to take. And the Cowboys have passed every test so far this season with flying colors. You have to give them credit for that. And when you're talking about them in totality of the season, what also matters is the Eagles are struggling. And the Cowboys, 11-5, where you win the division, and 11-5, where you're the wild card, are two drastically different seasons as far as your ability to go deep in the postseason. And that's where how Philadelphia plays factors into this.
I think your point is such a good one, though. He's been able to do this without the team having to rely on Ezekiel Elliott, where last year he was the bulk of their offense. We're coming into this season. We talked about, well, Ezekiel Elliott, without Zeke, what's Dak going to do? And just seeing what Dak was able to do, regardless of who the competition is, you're right, getting the ball downfield, being able to work the offense with a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback's coach, I think that gives you a lot of positivity looking to the future with this team.
To me, if we're looking at the natural growth of young quarterbacks compared to, let's microwave them, Baker Mayfield last year, now coming back this year, you want that natural, steady growth that we have. And you bring up a good point. What about the new coaches that he's dealing with? What about a new quarterback coach in John Kitna? Are we going to give the kid credit for that? What about Kellen Moore, a guy who has not proven as a play caller with Dak? And the biggest obstacle that no one's talking about, what about this kid performing under pressure with that big contract laying on the table? And three times he risked his pro career going out there, jeopardizing what, $100 million guaranteed, Nick?
Yeah, if not more.
So for me, I see this gradual progression of a guy who's getting better at his job and people want to discredit it. And there's a lot of things going on around him behind the scenes that lets you know the type of leader he is, the way he can put things in certain compartments and be able to go out there on the field and play with. Everyone can't do that. So for me, I'm very impressed with Dak Prescott. I thought he would grow as a quarterback. He's even grown more than I had anticipated.
And the Cowboys not only have to stack wins early during the softer part of their schedule, they have to put on film a bunch of different ways to beat you. because they have a stretch later in the year where they play six straight games and five of them are against maybe the five best defenses in football. They have Minnesota, Detroit, New England, Buffalo, Chicago, and the Rams. If you go into that stretch where the tape says stop Zeke and you win, then they are going to be at such a disadvantage when they hit the meat of their schedule as far as defenses they have to face. That doesn't even include the two times they got to play Philly. That doesn't include Green Bay in a couple weeks. Dallas will be tested. Dallas does not have a cakewalk schedule this season. Dallas just has had a cakewalk schedule thus far, but ultimately, all of the Cowboys conversations are going to circle back to how good do you think number four is? If you think he is a great quarterback, you probably think they can go to the Super Bowl.
Look, if they can get through this first stretch of the season, they've already got three wins. They play New Orleans, right? Mm-hmm. If they can get to 4-0, typically you can map out the rest of the season. That's the first quarter of the season. If the second quarter of the season, say they go 3-1, and say the last month, they go 2-2.
That's 12 wins.
Okay, we're sitting pretty nice. So that's why it's important. If you can bank one of those quarters and get 4-0, because I don't think they're going to be able to go 4-0 in that stretch right. The other way. So this New Orleans game against Teddy, if they can get that win, I believe it will pay huge dividends, not only as far as the head-to-head, Nick, but as far as trying to get that home field advantage, because I believe it's going to take at least 12 wins to get that.
And with how well Dak's playing, it now looks like they would have been okay in this stretch without Zeke.
Without
but
Zeke.
This is why, before the year, we talked about the perils of Zeke's holdout, because it was so critical that the Cowboys go 3-0 to start the season. It was so critical that they bank those wins to start the season, and they got a little luck in that very tough game in New Orleans is different now that Drew Brees is out for these 6 weeks, gives them a real chance to get to that 4-0.
And while they probably didn't need Zeke, the threat of Zeke has been good enough to take some of the defenses and open it up for Dak Prescott. It's the 100th year of the NFL. How excited are you for this season? NFL players have been coached. Blue light from smart devices can affect your sleep. Wear blue blocker glasses in the evening for improved sleep. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept that night and gain insights for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/cadence. Back here, first things first, with former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook. Good morning,
up,
Brian.
Good morning. Good morning.
Brian spent a tough weekend at the Eagles game.
Yeah.
You brought your whole family to witness that. I'm so sorry. But you had fun?
My son was cheering the entire game. He was cheering for the Lions. He was cheering for the Eagles. He was, whoever was on the field, he was cheering for
them. How old is he?
Absolutely.
How old is he?
He's two.
He's two.
He's just
happy to be there.
All right, let's talk some Packers. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, now 3-0 for the first time since 2015. Great start for a team that's missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons and for a quarterback who's been riddled with nagging injuries during that stretch. But this year, Rodgers is liking the vibe around this team and under new head coach Matt LaFleur.
All of us who've been here for a significant amount of time realize how different this feels. It's just a different energy, you know. It is palpable. It's contagious. It's charismatic, and it's fun. It really is. It's been a lot of fun. So it's obviously fun to win. We hold ourselves to a high standard offensively. We got to play better, but it's fun watching those guys on defense, you know. And we got to keep picking up our load and being a little more consistent, but it is a different vibe.
Or in other words, winning cures all. Whatever's going on behind the scenes, if they're winning right now, everybody seems to be happy. What was your reaction to what Aaron Rodgers had to say?
I think you're absolutely right. You can't tell in that video, but I think he is happy. They've played two of the toughest defenses in the league so far, Chicago and Minnesota, and they've won all of those games, even when they played Denver. I think this team is building a good foundation. I think they're putting in place all the things that you need to win. Number one, they're protecting the quarterback. The Green Bay Packers are tied for the most time in the pocket to throw, 3.0. 6 seconds to throw the football. When you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you have Valdez-Scantling as well as Davante Adams, and you have that amount of time to throw the football down the field, that's a good thing.
And to your point, Aaron Rodgers said he's never felt so healthy after a game. He's not bruised at all, and they only have a couple days
before
right.
They play. That's right. He's not getting beat up. The receivers aren't dropping the football. He's throwing touchdowns and not interceptions. These are all foundation pieces in the first quarter of the season for a veteran quarterback with a new head coach. These are great moments Aaron Rodgers, and the defense is playing lights out. Most importantly, the defense is playing lights out, and they have their turnover ratio is plus six. Yep. That's a great thing. They're getting the ball back to the offense. The one thing is this that has changed for Aaron Rodgers is that in his first three games, he's thrown 93 passes. Last year, he threw 116. They're throwing the ball a lot less. Mm-hmm. To me, you might throw the ball a lot less. However, you're winning more games. You have a better shot into the playoffs. This is all great things for Aaron Rodgers.
I think that also, they've made wholesale changes as far as their front office. They've made wholesale changes as far as the type of prospects that they're going after. Not only as far as size, speed, but also what's their personality. Green Bay has been very, very conservative as an organization in the types of players that they want in their locker room. Aaron alluded to that. He said it's charismatic. It's never been charismatic in Green Bay since Reggie White left. All right? That's not the culture that they want. That's not what they're promoting. So that's one thing. It's a defensive-dominated team, even though you have Aaron Rodgers. So there's not pressure on him to throw for 275, 300 every week or to mount these big comebacks. I believe the team is built right. But also, if you're going to look at the coach and you're going to judge him, you have to take a snapshot of what they did in Tennessee. I know people said, oh, that was his personnel. But I believe it's his makeup. If you look at Kyle Shanahan, what does he want to do? He wants to be able to run the ball. What does Matt LaFleur, what he wants to do? He wants to be able to run the ball. Play action pass, it's up. Hadn't been this much since 2012 with Aaron Rodgers. And that's only going to get better. Westbrook will tell you here, you can only practice play action pass in the game. You can't practice it in it because you know what the defensive guys do? They look at the call sheet. They know it's a play action. You're faking to the running back, and the linebackers are going backwards. You're like, It's not a real look. So you can't get that until you run the ball, you change people's mentality, and I wouldn't be surprised if they had a little change of pace, that they went empty, that they went no huddle. These are all things they can add as the season goes on. They got a very, very tough schedule, but I like Green Bay. I like this team. So I'm going to say this again. Aaron Rodgers with the defense. Sounds like a winning formula to me.
And the reason people should be the most optimistic about the Packers is the offense has not clicked yet. No. And they have not been through. Their 3-0 is not New England's 3-0. It's not Dallas's 3-0 as far as competition. They're all the same in the standings. But at Chicago, home for Minnesota, home for Denver. Now, Denver's not any good, but Minnesota.
That pass protection against Denver. If you just put that in with how they played those other.
100%. Yeah. Minnesota has not lost except for the game they played the Green Bay Packers. Chicago has not lost except for the game they played the Green Bay Packers. Those are two games that could be important tiebreakers at the end of the season with the division. To be 3-0 and through 3 weeks, they have 860 yards. That's, 267 yards of offense a game? It's not very good. Through 3 weeks, they're 9 of 36 on third down. So in an average game, they're 3 of 12 on third downs. So the pessimist would say, man, the offense isn't clicking. It's not going to click. And But if you believe the offense is going to get better, if you believe that Rodgers, after not playing in the preseason and having a new coach and a new system for the first time as a starter, he's just going to be on the uptick. And now he's got the rust knocked off after missing the entirety of preseason, one time due to a bad field, one time because his back tightened up. If you think Rodgers is going to continue to improve, Green Bay has a golden opportunity on a short week against an undermanned Philly team when you play as tough of a first month as anyone in football to be 4-0. Green Bay would have loved to be 3-1 and probably, honestly, when they look at their schedule, new coach, everything, would have taken 2-2 and said, We'll survive it. If they can be 4-0, before that offense really gets going, it speaks to their ability to have home field go through Green Bay for the first time in a long time, to have the type of season we're talking about where Rodgers does not have to be the end-all, be-all for the Packers to be a good football team.
The most important thing for this team is the health of Aaron Rodgers. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's upright and they can protect him, this team will figure it out. The offense will get figured out. You can't tell me the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen play this game in a very long time, can't figure it out with Jimmy Graham throwing the ball to someone that's 6'6 that can jump out of the gym. He is going to figure it out. It may take some time. They may have to run the ball a little bit, but because that defense is so good, they'll give him a lot of opportunity.
No, and you and I were talking before the show about who the identity of this offense is. Is it going to be a running team? But is it going to be Aaron Rodgers and everyone else? What's the system that's going to eventually come out of Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? But I guess it's okay to take some time to figure that out because their defense is keeping them in games.
Yeah, they want to have multiple ways to be able to win games. Right now, they're establishing the physicality. That offensive line, Pro Football Focus always has them rated as one of the better offensive line. But to me, I thought they were overrated because they weren't great run blockers. That starts with an attitude. That starts with how you're going to practice. The Packers have changed up how they practice. They've been very finesse throughout the years. No contact at practice. The practices now are far more physical. So it takes some time for that offense. And what about perception? Look at Freddie Kitchens in his first year as the head coach compared to Matt LaFleur. Thank God he had a defense, because if we were talking about those numbers that he has as an offense, you know what they'd be asking, Jenna?
They ruined Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, you want to change the play calling? Are you sure you should be calling plays? So he's very fortunate that he's able to get off to a slow start. Keep riding that defense. Keep riding those turnovers. Keep building up that run game, because Aaron Rodgers in that passing game, to me, I believe, will be opened up as the season gets more mature.
They're absolutely figured out.
Stop what you're doing and look down at your left wrist, because our friends at Movement Watches have got exactly what you're missing. Movement has you covered with tons of quality, clean, and all-around good-looking watches and accessories that we can actually afford and order right from our couch. Do your wrist and wallet a favor. Go check out their minimalist designs that you can have with no risk, because they offer free shipping and returns. With over 2 million watches sold worldwide, Movement has solidified themselves as one of the fastest growing watch brands out there. They also have tons of sunglasses and offer interchangeable watch straps, so you never run out of options for a new look. Movement watches start at just $95, so you're guaranteed to find something you love that won't break your bank. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/first. See why Movement keeps growing. Check out their expanding collection. Go to mvmt.com/first. Join the movement.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
We'll get to Jim Harbaugh in just a second, but first, well, Monday Night Football action: Bears Redskins. Khalil Mack making headaches for everyone named Gruden.
You rarely see. Oh, great line, Jenna. I didn't think about that.
He got both Gruden brothers.
Great. Statue of Liberty play run by Case Keenum there, unfortunately, was to the outside linebacker for the Chicago Bears. That doesn't work. Mack was a monster again.
Yeah, Coach Pagano's got that Bears defense playing lights out. If they can just – do they have a quarterback, Nick?
On this play, they did.
Here we go. Taylor Gabriel pulling off an unreal toe tap. It was ruled incomplete. It was then overturned, and this was a touchdown.
Look at that. Just the scraping the pylon makes it a touchdown.
They had me on this one. Me and Austin sitting around watching the game. I was like, oh, man, Austin, that's out, because his hand came off the ball. It's almost like the Dez Bryant where the catch starts all over. But they were like, no, when it was in his right hand, he still had control. Nice catch.
Austin was like, see, I told you. Mm-hmm. Next, Washington's.
No, he didn't say that. He don't like to say that around his stepdaddy. He probably told his buddies when he later on. Dude, think he
Terry
knows
something McLaurin
about football.
Rises to make a tough catch across the middle for the touchdown. Who, Nick?
Terry McLaurin, I'll be honest, I'm not very familiar with his work. However, Chris Carter was. Chris Carter on the old Fox Bet app told America, bet him at plus 250 to score a touchdown.
250.
And I'll be damned, I didn't know Washington was going to score any touchdowns. They did. Terry McLaurin had it. Ohio State product catching bunch touchdowns from Dwayne Haskins in the past, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some in the
By
future.
The way, from Indianapolis, a three-star recruit. We developed him. He didn't start at Ohio State. That's how bad we developed him. Now he's starting in the league.
Aww. A little CFL action. Eskimos taking on Tiger Cats. This is Edmonton's Greg Ellingson holding on. Nice touchdown.
Now, this is the Wes Welker. This is the Julian Edelman of the CFL. Dude's had a nice career. Good little athlete, plays in the slot. Yeah, Nick.
I want to tell the audience something real quick. Chris's son plays in the CFL. Chris
yeah, and my nephew is
and
a wide
his
receiver.
Nephew. Chris watches a lot of CFL football. Chris not just saying this because it's a white dude wearing number 82 doing
no.
these things. It's because of how he plays.
Yeah, his nickname in high school was White Lightning. For real.
For real? I think you made that up.
On
that
to
one
Jim
was a lot.
Harbaugh.
Any white dude fast, his
white
nickname.
Lightning.
White Lightning.
Yeah, no problem. I got it.
On to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday. They suffered a 35-14 loss to Wisconsin. Wasn't even that close. At one point, Wisconsin was leading 35-0. Naturally, a lot of questions for Harbaugh following that loss. Here's what he had to say to the media yesterday.
You know, really from A to Z, wasn't good, wasn't good enough, and, you know, not acceptable. So really with not acceptable for me. We didn't play physical enough. We were all out hustled. I take responsibility for that. In any ways that we were out schemed, also take responsibility of that. It's my job to make sure that we're completely sound, not a day we're proud of.
So, in short, every single thing that went wrong, he's going to admit to it being his fault. How hot is the seat for Jim Harbaugh right now, CC?
I think as far as the national media, it's a talking point. But the people in Michigan, the people making the decisions, the athletic director, I don't believe that he's taking applications. No, I believe he has a lot of confidence in Harbaugh. The board of trustees, these people, the board of regents, these are the people that make these decisions. No. Michigan, this is what they signed up for. When you go back and grab a coach who's had success in the NFL and he's an alumni of your university, you are stuck for a certain period of time. Now it's a matter of how long we're going to be stuck in this predicament we're in. Now, because right now, what is Harbaugh known for? You guys think he's a top five recruiter in the country? He's not. You think he's a motivator? Look at his press conference. He's not. How can you have 100 college kids and they play without emotion? Man, college football, it's all emotion. So the kids aren't responding to what he's teaching. How can you be out-schemed by Wisconsin? You know what they're going to do. They got 8 fat boys, and they're going to lean on you, and they got a little tailback that they're going to run. The same thing they've been doing the last 20 years. So when you're at a school and you get out-physicaled by Wisconsin, they have better athletes than you, and we know you got good prospects because we see the ratings every year, the recruits you're getting, and we watch the NFL draft. You still got kids that are playing on Sunday, high draft picks, drafted first day on rounds 1, round 2, and round 3. So this is a hardball problem. But for me, the thing that is the most troubling is, from an offensive innovation standpoint, he's given up the play calling duties. But when he was in San Francisco, he was known for physical offensive line play, the pistol formation he brought from Nevada, developing a quarterback, and these unbalanced lines. He does none of that at Michigan. So for me, he's a guy that doesn't have any type of identity, let alone the team not have an identity. What is Harbaugh great at right now? He's not calling plays. The recruiting is not the best. and they're not going to be physical. So for me, I'm a little lost, but we got a petition in Columbus, Ohio. We're petitioning to give him an extension. We need to keep him. He's got free hospital services. We want to keep him alive and breathing so Ryan Day can pile up some of those wins that our guy Urban piled up against him.
This has been a disaster. And I was...
Why are you so sad, man?
Because I don't
you,
like
You would
being,
think you would went to school there
I
or something.
I just don't like being wrong. And if the reason this is a little personal for me is my first time ever filling in for one Colin Cowherd years ago when I was first getting on television, I said very triumphantly and defiantly that if you don't tell me if you're coaching high school, college, or pro, you're just going to go coach football. And I can have my number one pick of anybody in the world, I'll take Jim Harbaugh.
For the next 10 years.
For the next 10
so
years.
So you had a little age in there.
I had
so
a little
Nick
age
Saban
in there.
And so, Belichick
yeah,
and them.
Like, but I saw him succeed at Stanford where no one had succeeded. Now David Shaw has succeeded at an even higher level. I saw him succeed at San Francisco. Now in the NFL, his brother was clearly the better coach then and now. And then at the time, he had gotten to Michigan, and it looked like he was this close because they were this close, remember, to beating Ohio State, that fourth down game they ended up losing. Now you look back and you say, what is his best win at Michigan? It's a loss. It's when they came this close to beating Ohio State.
Yep.
Since he's been at Michigan, this is eighth year, they are the only Power 5 school to not win a game as an underdog. Now, they're not underdogs that often, so they don't have as many opportunities, but to have never won a game as an underdog, to have never beaten your rival, to in your last three games against Power 5 schools, Ohio State, Florida, and Wisconsin, be outscored 138-68, to need overtime to beat Army, to be out of 130 teams, 97th in offense, 97th in rushing, mm-hmm. 99th in passing efficiency, 119th in turnover margin. Joel Klatt said something during the game that I thought Joel, and Joel's never wrong about this stuff, I thought he had to be wrong. It was early in the Wisconsin game. He said this is their ninth fumble of the year. I was like, it's their ninth quarter of the year.
Right.
And they've had nine fumbles. And part of that is coaching. You know who doesn't fumble the ball a lot? Alabama. You know who doesn't fumble the ball a lot? Well-coached teams. I don't know where it went wrong for Harbaugh because I do think he got the most out of those Niner teams. I do think he got the most out of those Stanford teams.
No doubt.
But this has been awful. I mean, awful. 40-15 at Michigan during, if we're being honest, a bit of a downtime in the Big Ten, aside from Ohio State's extended run of excellence, is unacceptable.
I know that he recruits the players, but how much of it is the players, the personnel, and how much of it is the coaching and what he's doing on Saturdays?
Jenna, this is the big difference between college and pro. On Saturday, college, it's the coach's fault. Especially when you're at a big school, a Power 5 conference, a national recruiting base, an alumni base, resources that are unlimited, unmatched. No, it's the coach. You have to be able to blame it on the coach. And if the players weren't getting drafted, if they weren't being all Big Ten, if they weren't 5- and 4-star recruits, then you could particularly look. But it's college. Typically, the blame goes to the coach. Jim Harbaugh has no one to blame. Now he's not calling plays, so what are you doing? Are you just a lead recruiter? You managing the game again? Like, they need to find some type of an identity. And to me, when you can't develop a quarterback and you are a former quarterback, that to me is a bigger indictment than losing the games when you're an underdog or he's 1-6 against ranked opponents on the road. At some point, you got to win on the road, and at some point, you got to beat a ranked.
You got to get a signature win. You got to beat your rival or get a signature win or win all the games you're supposed to. You're doing none of the above at Michigan. At Michigan with the name of Jim Harbaugh, I was just wrong on him,
In Michigan, they got beautiful facilities. They got great uniforms. They're a Jordan brand yep. team. But Jim Harbaugh and them khakis, it's not playing well with these young kids. Like, he thought it was. It was cute when he was showing up at midnight, sitting down playing video games with kids. But it's not playing well.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.